For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Hey, bada 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 so wing bada. Hey, bada 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 so wing bada. Kennedy, 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 so wing bada.
On 670 The Score.
Good morning, everyone. White Sox in Kansas City, that game at 1:10. Cubs and Dodgers at Wrigley, that game at 1:20. You'll hear it right here on The Score. In fact, there's a doubleheader today. Today we got a Chicago Sports doubleheader. First, it's Cubs-Dodgers with pregame at 12:45. Then it's the Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. As a reminder, you can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. It is going to be Shota Imanaga for the Cubs against Gavin Stone for the Dodgers. And Stone, the right-hander, means that the Cubs lineup, again, features Ian Happ up at the top. It's Happ, Suzuki, Bellinger, Morel, Swanson, who's been hitting the ball very hard. A couple of strikeouts yesterday caught looking that I didn't like. Michael Busch against his former team, been hitting it well. Nico Horner, who is scuffling at the plate. Hits seventh. Mike Talkman gets the start in left field. It's a half day off for Ian Happ, who will be the DH. And Miguel Amaya is the catcher in place of Yan Gomes. So Amaya and Imanaga, a Japanese pitcher to a Panamanian catcher. Awesome. Super fun. If you missed Adbert Alzolay at the very beginning of the show, we're going to give it to you in the noon hour leading up to Cubs because he was tremendous. Really fun. Interesting, thoughtful, connective dude. Big fan of Adbert as a human. And we talked to him, and I think you'll enjoy it. The Dodgers, by the way, go Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Will Smith. To start out, those are really, really good players. Teoscar Hernandez then hits fifth with an OPS over 9. But then they get bumpy in that outfield, man. The whole outfield defense is bumpy. Kike Hernandez is not a lockdown center fielder. Chris Taylor is your left fielder. And he's one of those guys who plays decent everywhere, but not truly great anywhere. So, and Teoscar in right misplayed a ball yesterday. He's okay, but if you're going to get to the Dodgers, that outfield defense is part of it, of how you get to them. And, boy, it'll be interesting to see if they win 100 games or 110. Boog was throwing out there yesterday, 110.
No, wild, man.
Yeah, I know. I understand it. I think that division is too good. So I went under on the Dodgers win total, which was at 103.5 at the beginning of the year. I think San Diego is going to be pretty good, and I think Arizona did some stuff, and the Giants. But then, you know, Dodgers swept the Giants, right?
They did.
Yeah. So we'll see. If the Giants suck, then maybe that'll help. But should be a pretty damn fun year to watch the Dodgers, and you get to watch them one more time against the Cubs at Wrigley today. There's a reason that so many pitchers are getting hurt around baseball, and we're going to talk about it, and it's not the pitch clock. We'll get to that a little bit later in this segment. But callers have been holding and hanging, and we honor that here on Hit and Run. Ben is in Queens on The Score. What's up, Ben? Good morning.
Spiegs, you know how this is. Whenever a caller says that we need to have this show year-round, I have to pile on. So, Mitch Rosen, if you're making up the budget, please make the allowance for Ruben every week or every 2 weeks. Love talking to that kid. Absolutely love talking to him. And I always bug him about the piano. You know me, but he likes telling me.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, I had a great morning. We do a clean up the parks with the Little League here, and so a bunch of kids. We go rake leaves, you know, clean up the backstops. So at the end, Mr. Met shows up with free tickets, and I get the tickets, and I look at him. I got 2 for the Cubs, the Tuesday tilt at the end of the month, so I'm happy.
That's outstanding. Yeah. And all for doing something good with cleaning up the fields. Way to go, sir.
Yeah, civic duty pays off. Yeah. Section 528, is that good?
No.
Yeah, well, maybe I can see the apple if they decide to pitch to Pete Alonso. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about, I wanted to talk about this, about the injuries. Okay, just 2 things. The first, you know, there was a study by the National Institute of Health about the differences between the injuries in Japanese pitchers and American pitchers. And this is, of course, germane to the topic because Japanese pitchers are now, Okoron, and we got Imanaga coming, and, you know, Yamamoto was great. The 60-inch break on the curveball is just
insane.
Out of this world.
So anyway, it's out of this world.
So they came up with, there is a difference that most Japanese players end up having problems with the shoulder, whereas Americans, with the torque they create at the elbow, Americans have more problems with the elbow. So I don't know if there's something to do with that. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, it's an old wives' tale that the splitter caused injuries, and then it went out of favor for about 2 decades. But now it's coming back. I don't know if you saw the article by Petrillo, but,
yeah,
you know, it was 1.6% 20 and 21. It went up to 2.3%. It's already 3.3%. The splitter is a nasty pitch. You know, Mark Leiter Jr. probably would not be in the major leagues if he didn't have that splitter. It's an outstanding pitch. Imanaga, it's a go-to pitch. And I don't think it causes as much injuries as they say it does, because there were never any studies. But I wonder if that, especially with American pitchers, just the torque on the elbow, you know, DeGrom with a 94-mile-an-hour hard slider, it's just, you're going to wreck your arm. So anyway, I'm looking forward to listening to you. I can talk about the Cubs all day long, but we got the whole season. Okay, take care and keep on the piano, Ruben.
Thank you, Ben. Ben's the best. See, look, here's the deal. That with the study, there's been a bunch of different studies. Ben Lindbergh did a great one in 2023. You know, there's a lot of things out there. And this, you know, MLBPA put out a statement, you know, in part blaming the pitch clock for it. And I don't think it's the splitter. I don't think it's a pitch in particular. But it's an overriding trend of stuff at all costs. So in that way, the splitter is part of it. And in that way, the pitch clock is part of it. Because if it's stuff at all costs and it's max effort, my guy Max Effort, at on every pitch, and now it's 18 seconds when it was 20... Yeah, that's not giving your body quite enough time to recover. But just to update, Shane Bieber is getting Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider has damage in his ulnar collateral ligament and is going to be reevaluated. Yuri Perez, the great young Marlins pitcher, got Tommy John. Lucas Giolito, Tommy John again. Felix Bautista, Shane McClanahan, Jacob DeGrom, Sandy Alcantara. Walker Buehler's working his way back from Tommy John. Robbie Ray, Dustin May working their way back. Garrett Cole is out with elbow inflammation. There's a lot going on. This has been making the rounds. It's from a couple years ago when Tyler Glasnow hurt himself again and was very upset about it. And it's been making the rounds again, and some of our finest score audio minds have come together to suggest to me, Matt Spiegel, that we play it, and I want to listen. Tyler Glasnow, now of the Dodgers, formerly of the Rays, formerly of the Pirates, talking about why arm injuries are as prevalent as they are in baseball.
I think, like, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm just going to – I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that, like, it seems like this whole public perception of, like, oh, just like select few people. Like, your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like, if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like, you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like, just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But 2 starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is like, what is the injury, like, what is the prevention of, like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I've never been, I don't use sticky stuff to, I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. Like, I felt completely different. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to change. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. My cue I used to use with Snyder was hold the ball like an egg, like nice and loose, be loose. That's out of the window. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand. So I'm taking it, and you have to think, I'm not a doctor. I know you guys probably know that. But I'm taking a fastball. I'm squeezing the ball twice as hard. So all of this is, I'm recruiting all these muscles, and I'm taking my arm as hard as I can throw the ball. So I'm going from like a flexed muscle to letting a ball go. And like I said, I was like, maybe it's not going to, I don't think it'll lead to any injuries. But waking up after that start, I was like, okay, this sucks. Something is weird here. And then that same feeling is persisting all week long. And then I go into my start yesterday, and that same feeling just, it pops or whatever the hell happened to my elbow. Like, I feel it. Something happens. And I'm sitting out there just like, you got kidding me.
So that's really fascinating. So a couple years ago when they started out ruling the sticky stuff, and you've obviously heard this conversation about, well, they need something. And one league was using a pre-made stickier baseball to try and do that. They've been experimenting with different things they could use. They're still checking guys' hands as they go out and everything like that. But that move forced people to adjust, and Glass now firmly believes that it was, that it deeply affected his arm. And that's a big part of it. It's a big part of it now, but it's even bigger than that, and we know that. Because we can find articles from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Boy, these injuries are really climbing. Boy, these injuries are really... It's been climbing and going. And you know why? It's the specialization. It's kids throwing 90 miles an hour in high school. Dr. James Andrews, who pioneered and forwarded the surgery, said kids throwing 90 in high school, the ligament itself can't withstand that kind of force. We've learned in our research lab that baseball is a developmental sport. The Tommy John ligament fully matures at age 26. In high school, the red line where the forces go beyond the tensile properties of the ligament is about 80 miles an hour. That's the surgeon telling you that guys are pushing themselves too hard. At the expense of stuff, guys are pushing themselves too hard. And then you take away the sticky stuff as well, and you get some of the chaos that's going on right now. Does the pitch clock make it worse? A little bit. But it sure as hell ain't the pitch clock that's the big problem. Not even close. Let's go to John in Naperville on 670 The Score. Hello, John. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. By the way, Joe Davis, the Dodgers broadcaster, is going to join us at 1140 today, not 1125 as previously advertised. So carry on, John.
No problem. First of all, shout out to Ruben. What a great job. As a former radio intern, that is – a call screener is even higher than an intern, so he did a great job.
Excellent.
He did give me the entire synopsis to Weird Science, which I thought was restricted from the 80s movie playlist, but whatever. You know, Dan, you're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Your own time. But I'll talk about – arm injuries. The reason arm injuries are happening is because, you know, front offices are looking for guys who miss bats. We talk about it all the time. Sorry, my phone's talking in the background.
Yep.
But that's what they're incentivized for. Sorry.
You're good.
All right. Chris Bassett was on Foul Territory, and he talked about, you know, a guy who threw 94, 95 was invited back to camp versus a relief pitcher who threw 90 and wasn't invited back into camp. So these pitchers are incentivized by throwing high velocity with crazy spin rates. And that's what do you expect? So is this, how is this going to be sustainable long term?
I don't know that it is. I think they're just going to keep eating through pitchers. I mean, as it stands now, because the strategy of the game has now become get the most out of your guy and then move on to the next guy, because there is so far a never-ending supply of wannabes and willing arm injuries waiting to happen. I'm not sure how it stops. You know, this is probably a task for you know, the people in the commissioner's office who are thinking about this, and now Theo's not among them anymore as he's part owner of the Fenway Sports Group, but there might have to be some legislation on the rules to reverse engineer some of the strategy. But how hard is that going to be now that, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube on this? It's crazy. The volume of specialization for pitchers and just like, go out, give me one inning, give me everything you got. Let's go. And the next guy, you give me one inning, give everything you got. And then we're left here trying to figure out, okay, why is Yency Almonte not good and Julian Merriweather is? They both throw at 96, 97, both got a nasty breaking ball. Okay, Almonte's sweeper goes a little bit side to side, but like, this is what we're parsing. It's no longer, oh, that guy throws 96, put him out there. Everybody throws 96 in the bullpen. Everybody, you know? So I don't know. It's bigger minds than mine that are going to have to get to the bottom of this kind of stuff. This is Ashley in Huntley, who's now on 670 The Score. Good morning, Ashley.
Hey, Stig, what's up?
Oh, Leslie, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. What Wani calls you Leslie once, and that's just, you know, your lot in life.
Yes, that's fine. Okay. So just want to compliment you on Ruben. He's great.
Excellent. Thank you. Wow.
Very polite.
Wow. Is he hearing all this stuff? He's on his break, right, Sean? He's over there on his break. He's missing all this.
I'll have to replay it for him.
Yeah, we might have to do a supercut of Ruben compliments for the man to hear.
Yeah. And then thanks for reposting my Wix GIF I made. It's the first one I ever made.
Oh, outstanding.
So I'm just very excited about the Cubs in general and the potential that they have. The only thing I'm, you know, not one of the only things, but just I need them to get more pitching. Like, I don't know if they can get more at the deadline, or I'm just worried about that aspect of it, especially with, you know, Steele out, and I'm not sure what Tyone's going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so you're worried about the starting pitching?
Some starting and mostly relief, because I don't know about Hector Neris, and, like, I haven't seen... You know, between, you know, starting and Azulai, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, understood. I think you got a couple folks you can feel good about. Neris gave it up the other day against Colorado, but Neris is good. Neris has been good for a lot of years, and he's got over 70 appearances each of the last 3 years. And that was a game I don't think he expected to be in. And then all of a sudden there he was. And I don't know what the hell was going on there after Almonte had made the initial mess. But I feel pretty good about Neris. I feel alarmingly good about Mark Leiter against lefties. It's crazy, man. They figured something out in the pitch lab with that dude. Splitter to lefties, gets a ton of movement. He's the left-hander. Mark Leiter, don't think of him like you think of other dudes. He's a lefty specialist and tough against the really good part of the order. They feel great about him going against the Otanis and Freemans of the world, and they should.
Yeah, and Hector Neris is another guy like that as well, too. That splitter makes it really tough on lefties. So mm-hmm. to have those guys in your bullpen, and I know there's not a ton of lefties, those guys are essentially left-handed relievers.
Yeah, you know, and they are. So look, I like Neris. And I like Leiter, and I like Merriweather, especially what he was the second half of the year. I'm a little leery about Adbert as a closer. A little bit leery.
The Energizer Bunny.
I see, that's the thing, dude. He's got the vibes. He's got the vibes, and he's got the moxie and the confidence and all of that. And that stuff matters a lot. So I just, but you heard me. I asked him at the end of the interview. He was like, oh, you're not missing bats quite as much. He said, honestly, it's just cold. I was like, oh, that's interesting. We'll see. Gets cold again in November. That's the only problem.
Tends to do that here.
Right,
yeah.
It tends to do that. Gets cold again at the end. But Almonte, I don't feel good about. You saw him when they were trailing yesterday. He's not an even or ahead guy, and that's fine. That is totally fine that he's not. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe one more reliever, but maybe there's some kids coming up. I know you love Cam Sanders.
Oh, if that guy could throw some strikes, he'd be nasty.
Yeah. This stuff is nasty. And we'll see what happens with Ben Brown in terms of whether he's going to end up being a starter or being a bulk guy. And if he is a bulk guy, that means he's a bullpen guy. You know, you don't just have to sit around and wait for him every fifth day to give you four innings or whatever. You can use him on his side day out of the pen. And you can use him in some different ways. And I think Council's psyched to have a weapon like that in the bullpen. And that is some nasty, nasty stuff. 670 The Score is what you're listening to. A couple more of your calls we'll get in the next segment. And we will also, it will get to Joe Davis from the Dodgers broadcast crew coming up a little bit later on in the hour. You'll also hear some PBP, some of the PBP. My podcast, the episode one with Brian Anderson. I think you'll really enjoy it. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Offensively, I think double plays have just been sort of the killer of this.
Yeah, I think we've had about 10 double plays this year, something like that. We're going through a really bad stretch right now offensively, but that's not who these guys are. You know, these guys are, you know, they're proven major league hitters. That's why they're here. They have a track record. They're going to get it going. You know, it's just taking longer than what we want. You know, we had that one game against Maeda where we scored six runs. Other than that, we really haven't mustered much. So, we got to just keep doing our work and everything's going to level out. You know, these guys are major league hitters, like I said, with the track record. So everything's going to level out. We just got, there's some urgency now. You know, 1-7 starts, not good. So we got a little bit of urgency and come out, you know, tomorrow and try to win the game and take it on to Cleveland.
All right, what is Pedro Grifol talking about? These are major league hitters. They have a track record, not good ones. Andrew Vaughn doesn't have a good track record. Andrew Benintendi, in the last two years, does not have a good track record. Kevin Pillar, Paul DeJong, Dominic Fletcher, Lenin Sosa, Martin Maldonado has a track record of being a 170 hitter. He can't use the same stuff that he said when he took over for a core that he was supposed to get more out of. Remember that? He said all that stuff. These guys, you know, they'll get there, the back of the baseball car, blah, blah, blah. They'll get there. You can't say that stuff when you've got a team of never wases or cast offs or, you know, hopefuls that don't have a track record. It's when he talks like that and it's just like platitudes and like empty stuff, you're like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Where is just be real, be normal. That is not normal. Let's go to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Spieg, listen, you just said it all right there. I would only be repeating myself after that. You're right on the money. I felt that the biggest mistake that Jerry Reinsdorf made was not sweeping Grifol out with Rick and Kenny. I still don't get that to this day.
Because they're paying him. Sadly, I think it's because they're paying him.
Well, yeah. by the way, one quick aside, Speaks. I'm with you on Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
He is my favorite player in all of baseball as well. And I have maintained steadily over the last 5-6 years when Mike Trout has been almost universally acclaimed to be the best player in baseball, that he didn't do one thing on the field that Mookie Betts couldn't do. And also the year that Ronald Acuna had last year, you know, the 40 home runs and the 70 stolen bases, Mookie Betts is the only other player currently in baseball today that's capable of doing that, you know, if he was cut loose on the bases. If there's one true 5-tool player who's also versatile, it's Mookie Betts. So you're right on the money there. Mookie is the best player in baseball in my mind.
Yeah.
But listen, back to the White Sox. Ryan McGuffey speaks. You got to have him on more often than you do. That guy tells the unvarnished truth about the White Sox. He speaks truth. And his call, his discussion with you today mirrored, you had him on late last summer, and his call stands out today because he's the only one of the Sox analysts that you have on regularly who I feel is watching the same team that I'm watching. You had guys, I don't want to mention any names. I have the receipts if I need them, but it's not important. But a lot of these Sox analysts, in going into August and September, were still maintaining and still spewing the nonsense that the White Sox were in it because they play in the American League Central. Ryan McGuffey came on and spoke truth and said the same thing that he did this morning that made me feel like he's watching the same team that I'm watching.
Thank you, Stan. Yeah, I'll pass that on to Ryan, who's awfully good at what he does. That's for sure. I'm disappointed in Pedro, who I liked at introduction. And I believed that there was more to him than there has been. I will say, I agree with Lawrence Holmes about something he was talking about during the week, and it touches on what McGuffey and I finished with. I like the way that Pedro used Michael Kopech in the one save chance, in the one win. I don't know how many times they're going to have a chance to do it, but Kopech is a guy, you got to figure out if there's any way that you can make him a viable closer, and then maybe you could flip him, or you can keep him, I suppose, but you'll probably flip him. And it didn't work as a starter. He couldn't handle the focus and the mentality needed to be incredible, like uber consistent over and over and over again. But closer is a different psychological ask, and I want him put in difficult situations whenever possible. I want him put in multiple inning stints whenever possible. Let him start the eighth, even if you're going to want him in the ninth, especially if that's where the difficult matchups are. Let him come in for a five-out save like he did the other night. Let him suffer through some challenges. Don't go yanking him if something gets tough. Now, they have to get in position to actually use him, and that might be more difficult to come by. So maybe you'll have to use him every once in a while when you're trailing or when you're tied, just to like give him some work. But, man, that guy has the stuff to close, and it's like the last chance to try and maximize the possibilities for somebody who has been extremely valuable, even though he has underperformed. It's Hit and Run here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. Cubs start at 1:20. We're on till 12:45. You'll hear from Adbert Alzolay in the noon hour. But coming up next is the broadcast voice for the Los Angeles Dodgers and for Fox TV. It's Joe Davis on Hit and Run next on The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
He hits one in the air down the line towards the right field corner that blows just inside the pole. Just barely stays fair. Shohei Ohtani has homered in back-to-back games. And the Dodgers are back in this one at 6-4.
That the voice of Joe Davis. You hear him and see him doing Dodgers games on television. That from Spectrum Sportsnet on Friday. This is a fun series, and we love our opportunity to talk to Joe in the midst of it. He joins us right now on the Circus Sports Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Joe, nice to have you on. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. You were wonderful on the podcast, the PBP, last year. I appreciate that. And episode one of season two just dropped. Brian Anderson last week, Kevin Brown this coming week. Very excited to be doing it again and diving into the job that you do.
Oh, I love it. I had so much fun doing that. Let's do it again sometime.
I'm in. So How about the energy of this matchup? Maybe you're used to it with the Dodgers. Anywhere they go, it's kind of fun. But this, I mean, that's 41,000 at Wrigley. That's the most in 5 years yesterday. A lot of factors and pretty fun. You feeling the energy there at the park?
I am. And I grew up in Michigan as a Cubs fan coming to games at Wrigley Field. So this place for me personally is extra special. You know, even when the Cubs stink and even when Ohtani's not in the building, it's a place like no place else to be in. So when you add in all the factors like you mentioned, yeah, it's been really cool these couple days.
2016, 2017 NLCS, could be 2024. Why not? Cubs look like a playoff team to me.
Yeah. I agree. The lineup, you don't have necessarily that one guy where it's like, oh my gosh, he's coming up. But it feels long because you really don't have that automatic out. I mean, I guess, you know, Yan Gomes has not hit much yet down at the nine spot, but relative to a defense first catcher, he can hit. It's just a bunch of really tough kind of nuisances to deal with when you're the opposing pitcher. And I think that, you know, when you look at, granted, it's only a very small sample size, but the best strikeout rate, the best walk rate, the best on base percentage in baseball, I don't want to deal with this lineup if I'm an opposing pitcher.
I don't think I was ever as interested to watch a manager as I was going into this season to watch Council, just because they didn't change a ton and they didn't win as many games as the underlying metrics said they should have last year. And I'm impressed so far. I got to say, like, just the way that he thinks kind of holistically from the organizational standpoint, the reputation is well earned for Craig around the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it. And you guys have seen now on an everyday basis for a couple weeks now. Look, if you're going to give a guy what they gave him, if you're going to make the move that they made, you better be sure that you're getting those things. And he's somebody who they've seen up close and personal in the division and, you know, for his entire managerial career. And Cubs fans have seen a guy who gets the most out of his rosters, right? Those Milwaukee teams are not always and rarely are the most talented team. Rarely do they, you know, put together a roster where you're like, yeah, this is going to be a division champ. This team's going to be a problem. I know the starting pitching's been really good, but like when you look at the whole roster, not that impressive in Milwaukee. He just gets the most out of what he's got.
Yeah. You know, and so Council is like kind of on an equal standing with Jed Hoyer, which has been really interesting, you know, as a former front office guy. Where's Dave Roberts these days? Are there times when Dave wants to point upstairs and say, well, that's what they think, but he won't do it on the record or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, we're so used to that kind of tussle between front office and manager. I haven't seen it yet with Craig because I think Jed will listen to him equally.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Dave, I think that's an incorrect narrative. He's in his ninth year here. I don't think you're in your ninth year having the success they've had if you don't love the people you're working with. Dave and Andrew Friedman and Brandon Gomes, I mean, these guys go to dinner together. They hang out together away from the field. Like, they could not be any more in lockstep. So, and I think that you got to have that. I mean, we've seen managerial tenures end when you don't have that. Think about it like just for in any job. It's going to be tough to go to work if you don't like the people you're going to work with. If you don't like your immediate superiors, that's going to make it tough. But it's a tired narrative that I don't know how it's become a thing with Dave Roberts and any kind of disconnect with the front office. But those guys could not have any healthier of a relationship. And I don't think you get to 9 years without that.
All right. Well, I will help retire that narrative under advisement. I'm sorry, Joe. No, really, I'll point the thumb. So watching Shohei Ohtani under some public duress has had to be interesting. Anything that you've learned about how he goes about his business that maybe you didn't realize until now you get to be this close?
It is validated for me everything that I heard and read about him sort of being a baseball robot. I mean, the guy is the same every single day. The gambling stuff breaks, and then that night, the first pitch that he sees, he hits like 150 miles an hour on a line into right field. And it's like, okay, this guy's just fine. Really has been amazing to see, you know, all this stuff, regardless of the off the field stuff that, you know, with what has popped up in the news. going to a new team, all the pressure that comes with that, the record-setting contract, more eyes on him than just about any baseball player that we've seen in a long time, and he's not one bit fazed. It really has been remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of any time I've ever seen him, you know, look flustered or look overwhelmed by any situation. I don't think I've ever seen it, Joe.
No, I've not seen anything close to it. He didn't get off to a good start, and he's admitted that he was pressing and that he was up there trying to hit his first home run, and that was bleeding into his at-bat quality. So he's admitted that he's human behind that facade that we see, this stoic facade. But, boy, anything he deals with, anything he's going through, he sure hides it impressively.
I'm looking for flaws on this team as we talk to Joe Davis about the Dodgers. I'm having trouble finding them. So far, I got outfield defense. I think that's all I got. Am I missing something that I don't see?
I think infield defense for me would be the bigger concern.
Okay.
Muncy at third has had his problems. Mookie at short. That's a really tough adjustment to make. Gavin Lux at second has had throwing issues. That's why he's at second and not short. That's why Betts moved to short in the first place. Infield defense would be the biggest thing, but I think that the thought is that they're going to hit and pitch so much that they're going to overcome those problems.
Is this the defense as aligned now that we get in playoff time? Is Mookie going to stick, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I see no reason why not. You never know what kind of deals they're going to make. Andrew Friedman's always been, if there's a deal to be made, he'll go make it. So hard to say definitively, but I don't think there are any plans currently to change the setup with specifically to Mookie at short.
You know, he's my favorite player in the sport. And has been for a while. The spatial awareness at short, like just kind of the experiential thing of playing a million games there and knowing the timing, is that the stuff that seems to be a challenge, or what is, if it's not that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that where the challenge is, it's going to play out over a full baseball season, as so many nuances in baseball do. It's very hard. A lot of the nuances in baseball, it's very hard to see in one day, in one week, in one month. But over a full season, where the best shortstops become the best shortstops, it's not necessarily the highlight plays. It's the routine plays that they're going to make 99 times out of 100. So can he be that guy? Because if it's only 90 out of 100, you're going to cost your team a game or two. So he's going to make the highlight plays. And even if he doesn't, those account for such a small chunk of a shortstop season that whatever. Can he make the routine ones 99 times out of 100?
Joe, do you have any fun and weird trips for Fox National Baseball this year? I think they're sending Amin to England. Isn't that right? Doesn't Adam get to go?
Yes, he's going this year because we have Yankees-Dodgers that same day in New York.
Wow.
So Adam gets to go do the London thing this year. We have a week or two after that, a game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, the oldest ballpark in the country.
Awesome.
Cardinals are going to play the Giants there, so that should be really cool.
Yeah, that's at least in part inspired by the Field of Dreams experience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember I thought then that should be an annual thing, or maybe it's going to be every couple of years. Baseball somewhere where baseball does not exist. I love that it's at Rickwood Field, but like, you know, why not in the Badlands, in the middle of Montana or South Dakota?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, MLB needs to hire you for their special events department.
Joe,
you know? I love this.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you. My whole Field of Dreams series, I mapped it out as an idea, and you can use your connections and get me that side hustle that we've all been looking
for.
Yeah, all right.
Sweet.
Hey, thanks, man. Enjoy the game. Appreciate the time on a Sunday morning.
Okay, man. Anytime, bud.
All right, you got it. That's Joe Davis right there from Fox. So, right? I mean, baseball all over the country in places where it is not usually. And cannot go. And Rickwood Field is going to be awesome. That's a really, really cool event. I look forward to talking about that baseball in Alabama as we get closer. We have the Cubs and the Dodgers, as mentioned, coming up at 12:45. will be pregame, and then there'll be Bulls after that. So, look, it's a doubleheader. 12:45 for Cubs, and then it's Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. You can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And the Odyssey app, by the way, is a simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Burnsy and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer. The free Odyssey app. Download it today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Cubs. You'll hear from him as we head up towards first pitch and pregame before that on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Hey, bada 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 bada, so we bada. Kennedy, 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 so we bada.
On 670 The Score.
Good morning, everyone. White Sox in Kansas City, that game at 1:10. Cubs and Dodgers at Wrigley, that game at 1:20. You'll hear it right here on The Score. In fact, there's a doubleheader today. Today we got a Chicago sports doubleheader. First, it's Cubs-Dodgers with pregame at 12:45. Then it's the Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. As a reminder, you can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. It is going to be Shota Imanaga for the Cubs against Gavin Stone for the Dodgers. And Stone, the right-hander, means that the Cubs lineup, again, features Ian Happ up at the top. It's Happ, Suzuki, Bellinger, Morel, Swanson, who's been hitting the ball very hard. A couple of strikeouts yesterday caught looking that I didn't like. Michael Busch against his former team, been hitting it well. Nico Horner, who is scuffling at the plate. Hits seventh. Mike Talkman gets the start in left field. It's a half day off for Ian Happ, who will be the DH. And Miguel Amaya is the catcher in place of Yan Gomes. So Amaya and Imanaga, a Japanese pitcher to a Panamanian catcher. Awesome. Super fun. If you missed Adbert Alzolay at the very beginning of the show, we're going to give it to you in the noon hour leading up to Cubs because he was tremendous. Really fun. Interesting, thoughtful, connective dude. Big fan of Adbert as a human. And we talked to him, and I think you'll enjoy it. The Dodgers, by the way, go Betts, Otani, Freeman, Will Smith. To start out, those are really, really good players. Teoscar Hernandez then hits fifth with an OPS over 9. But then they get bumpy in that outfield, man. The whole outfield defense is bumpy. Kike Hernandez is not a lockdown center fielder. Chris Taylor is your left fielder. And he's one of those guys who plays decent everywhere, but not truly great anywhere. So, and Teoscar in right misplayed a ball yesterday. He's okay, but if you're going to get to the Dodgers, that outfield defense is part of it, of how you get to them. And, boy, it'll be interesting to see if they win 100 games or 110. Boog was thrown out there yesterday, 110.
Isn't that wild, man?
Yeah, I know. I understand it. I think that division is too good. So I went under on the Dodgers' win total, which was at 103.5 at the beginning of the year. I think San Diego is going to be pretty good, and I think Arizona did some stuff, and the Giants. But then, Dodgers swept the Giants, right?
They did.
Yeah. So we'll see. If the Giants suck, then maybe that'll help. But should be a pretty damn fun year to watch the Dodgers, and you get to watch them one more time against the Cubs at Wrigley today. There's a reason that so many pitchers are getting hurt around baseball, and we're going to talk about it, and it's not the pitch clock. We'll get to that a little bit later in this segment. But callers have been holding and hanging, and we honor that here on Hit and Run. Ben is in Queens on the score. What's up, Ben? Good morning.
Spiegs, you know how this is. Whenever a caller says that we need to have this show year-round, I have to pile on. So, Mitch Rosen, if you're making up the budget, please make the allowance for Ruben every week or every 2 weeks. Love talking to that kid. Absolutely. Thanks. Love talking to him. And I always bug him about the piano. You
good.
Know me, but he likes telling me.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, Spiegs, I had a great morning. We do a clean up the parks with the Little League here, and so a bunch of kids. We go rake leaves, you know, clean up the backstops. So at the end, Mr. Met shows up with free tickets, and I get the tickets and I look at him. I got two for the Cubs, the Tuesday tilt at the end of the month, so I'm happy.
That's outstanding, yeah. And all for doing something good with cleaning up the fields. Way to go, sir.
Yeah, civic duty pays off. Yeah. Section 528, is that good?
No.
Yeah, well, maybe I can see the apple if they decide to pitch to Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about, I wanted to talk about this, about the injuries. Okay, just two things. The first, you know, there was a study by the National Institute of Health about the differences between the injuries in Japanese pitchers and American pitchers. And this is, of course, germane to the topic because Japanese pitchers are now, Okoron, and we got Imanaga coming, and, you know, Yamamoto was great. The 60-inch break on the curveball is just
insane.
Out of this world.
So
they came up with, there is a difference that most Japanese players end up having problems with the shoulder, whereas Americans, with the torque they create at the elbow, Americans have more problems with the elbow. So I don't know if there's something to do with that. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, it's an old wives' tale that the splitter caused injuries, and then it went out of favor for about two decades, but now it's coming back. I don't know if you saw the article by Petrillo, but,
yeah,
you know, it was 1.6% 20 and 21. It went up to 2.3%. It's already 3.3%. The splitter is a nasty pitch. You know, Mark Leiter Jr. probably would not be in the major leagues if he didn't have that splitter. It's an outstanding pitch. Imanaga, it's a go-to pitch. And I don't think it causes as much injuries as they say it does, because there were never any studies. But I wonder if that, especially with American pitchers, just the torque on the elbow, you know, DeGrom with a 94-mile-an-hour hard slider, it's just, you're going to wreck your arm. So anyway, I'm looking forward to listening to you. I can talk about the Cubs all day long, but we got the whole season. Okay, take care and keep on the piano, Ruben.
Thank you, Ben. Ben's the best. See, look, here's the deal. That with the study, there's been a bunch of different studies. Ben Lindbergh did a great one in 2023. There's a lot of things out there. And this, you know, MLBPA put out a statement, you know, in part blaming the pitch clock for it. And I don't think it's the splitter. I don't think it's a pitch in particular, but it's an overriding trend of stuff at all costs. So in that way, the splitter is part of it. And in that way, the pitch clock is part of it. Because if it's stuff at all costs and it's max effort, my guy, max effort, and on every pitch, and now it's 18 seconds when it was 20, yeah, that's not giving your body quite enough time to recover. But just to update, Shane Bieber is getting Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider has damage in his ulnar collateral ligament and is going to be reevaluated. Yuri Perez, the great young Marlins pitcher, got Tommy John. Lucas Giolito, Tommy John again. Felix Bautista, Shane McClanahan, Jacob DeGrom, Sandy Alcantara. Walker Buehler's working his way back from Tommy John. Robbie Ray, Dustin May working their way back. Gerrit Cole is out with elbow inflammation. There's a lot going on. This has been making the rounds. It's from a couple years ago when Tyler Glasnow hurt himself again and was very upset about it. And has been making the rounds again, and some of our finest score audio minds have come together to suggest to me, Matt Spiegel, that we play it, and I want to listen. Tyler Glasnow, now of the Dodgers, formerly of the Rays, formerly of the Pirates, talking about why arm injuries are as prevalent as they are in baseball.
I think like it's ridiculous. Like, I'm just gonna. I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that like it seems like this whole public perception of like, oh, just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is like, what is the injury? Like, what is the prevention of like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I don't use sticky stuff to, I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. Like I felt completely different. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. My cue I used to use with Snyder was hold the ball like an egg, like nice and loose, be loose. That's out of the window. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand. So I'm taking it, and you have to think, I'm not a doctor. I know you guys probably know that. But I'm taking a fastball. I'm squeezing the ball twice as hard. So all of this is I'm recruiting all these muscles, and I'm taking my arm as hard as I can throwing the ball. So I'm going from like a flexed muscle to letting a ball go. And like I said, I was like, maybe it's not going to – I don't think it'll lead to any injuries. But waking up after that start, I was like, okay, this sucks. Something is weird here. And then that same feeling is persisting all week long. And then I go into my start yesterday, and that same feeling just – it pops or whatever the hell happened to my elbow. Like, I feel it. Something happens. And I'm sitting out there just like, you got to be kidding me.
So that's really fascinating. So a couple years ago when they started out ruling the sticky stuff, and you've obviously heard this conversation – about, well, they need something, and one league was using a pre-made stickier baseball to try and do that. They've been experimenting with different things they could use. They're still checking guys' hands as they go out and everything like that. But that move forced people to adjust, and Glass now firmly believes that it deeply affected his arm. And that's a big part of it. It's a big part of it now. But it's even bigger than that, and we know that. Because we can find articles from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Boy, these injuries are really climbing. Boy, these injuries are really... It's been climbing and going. And you know why? It's the specialization. It's kids throwing 90 miles an hour in high school. Dr. James Andrews, who pioneered and forwarded the surgery, said kids throwing 90 in high school, the ligament itself can't withstand that kind of force. We've learned in our research lab that baseball is a developmental sport. The Tommy John ligament fully matures at age 26. In high school, the red line where the forces go beyond the tensile properties of the ligament is about 80 miles an hour. That's the surgeon telling you that guys are pushing themselves too hard. At the expense of stuff, guys are pushing themselves too hard. And then you take away the sticky stuff as well, and you get some of the chaos that's going on right now. Does the pitch clock make it worse? A little bit. But it sure as hell ain't the pitch clock that's the big problem. Not even close. Let's go to John in Naperville on 670 The Score. Hello, John. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. By the way, Joe Davis, the Dodgers broadcaster, is going to join us at 1140 today, not 1125 as previously advertised. So carry on, John.
No problem. First of all, shout out to Ruben. What a great job. As a former radio intern, that is a call screener is even higher than an intern. So he did a great job.
Excellent.
He did give me the entire synopsis to Weird Science, which I thought was restricted from the 80s movie playlist. But whatever, you know, Dan, you're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I'll get
on your own time. But I'll talk about arm injuries. The reason arm injuries are happening is because you know, front offices are looking for guys who miss bats. We talk about it all the time. Sorry, my son's talking in the background.
Yep.
But that's what they're incentivized for. Sorry.
You're good.
All right. Chris Bassett was on Foul Territory, and he talked about, you know, a guy who threw 94, 95 was invited back to camp versus a relief pitcher who threw 90 and wasn't invited back into camp. So these pitchers are incentivized by throwing high velocity with crazy spin rates, and that's what do you expect? So is this how is this going to be sustainable long term?
I don't know that it is. I think they're just going to keep eating through pitchers. I mean, as it stands now, because the strategy of the game has now become get the most out of your guy and then move on to the next guy, because there is so far a never-ending supply of wannabes and willing arm injuries waiting to happen. I'm not sure how it stops. You know, this is probably a task for you know, the people in the commissioner's office who are thinking about this, and now Theo's not among them anymore as he's part owner of the Fenway Sports Group, but there might have to be some legislation on the rules to reverse engineer some of the strategy. But how hard is that going to be now that, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube on this? It's crazy. The volume of specialization for pitchers and just like, go out, give me one inning, give me everything you got. Let's go. And the next guy, you give me one inning, give me everything you got. And then we're left here trying to figure out, okay, why is Yency Almonte not good and Julian Merriweather is? They both throw at 96, 97, both got a nasty breaking ball. Okay, Almonte's sweeper goes a little bit side to side, but like, this is what we're parsing. It's no longer, oh, that guy throws 96, put him out there. Everybody throws 96 in the bullpen. Everybody, you know? So I don't know. It's bigger minds than mine that are going to have to get to the bottom of this kind of stuff. This is Ashley in Huntley, who's now on 670 The Score. Good morning, Ashley.
Hey, Stig, what's up?
Oh, Leslie, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. What Wani calls you Leslie once, and that's just, you know, your lot in life.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
So, just want to compliment you on Ruben. He's great.
Excellent. Thank you. Wow.
Very polite.
Wow. Is he hearing all this stuff? He's on his break, right, Sean? He's over there on his break. He's missing
all
this. I'll
have to replay it for him.
Yeah, we might have to do a super cut of Ruben compliments for the man to hear.
Yeah. And then thanks for reposting my Wix gif I made. It's the first one I ever made.
Oh, outstanding.
So, I'm just very excited about the Cubs in general and the potential that they have. The only thing I'm, you know, not one of the only things, but just I need them to get more pitching. Like, I don't know if they can get more at the deadline, or I'm just worried about that aspect of it, especially with, you know, feel out, and I'm not sure what Tyone's going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so you're worried about the starting pitching?
Some starting and mostly relief, because I don't know about Hector Neris, and, like, I haven't seen... You know, between, you know, starting and Azulay, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, understood. I think you got a couple folks you can feel good about. Neris gave it up the other day against Colorado, but Neris is good. Neris has been good for a lot of years, and he's got over 70 appearances each of the last 3 years. And that was a game I don't think he expected to be in, and then all of a sudden there he was, and I don't know what the hell was going on there after Almonte had made the initial mess. But I feel pretty good about Neris. I feel alarmingly good about Mark Leiter against lefties. It's crazy, man. They figured something out in the pitch lab with that dude. Splitter to lefties, gets a ton of movement. He's the left-hander. Mark Leiter, don't think of him like you think of other dudes. He's a lefty specialist and tough against the really good part of the order. They feel great about him going against the Otanis and Freemans of the world, and they should.
Yeah, and Hector Neris is another guy like that as well, too. That splitter makes it really tough on lefties. So mm-hmm. to have those guys in your bullpen, and I know there's not a ton of lefties, those guys are essentially left-handed relievers.
Yeah, you know, and they are. So look, I like Neris. And I like Leiter, and I like Merriweather, especially what he was the second half of the year. I'm a little leery about Adbert as a closer. A little bit leery.
Got the Energizer Bunny.
I see, that's the thing, dude. He's got the vibes. He's got the vibes, and he's got the moxie and the confidence and all of that. And that stuff matters a lot. So I just, but you heard me. I asked him at the end of the interview. He was like, oh, you're not missing bats quite as much. He said, honestly, it's just cold. I was like, oh, that's interesting. We'll see. Gets cold again in November. That's the only problem.
Tends to do that here.
Right.
Yeah.
It tends to do that. Gets cold again at the end. But Almonte, I don't feel good about. You saw him when they were trailing yesterday. He's not an even or ahead guy. And that's fine. That is totally fine that he's not. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe one more reliever, but maybe there's some kids coming up. I know you love Cam Sanders.
Oh, that guy could throw some strikes. He'd be nasty.
Yeah. This stuff is nasty. And we'll see what happens with Ben Brown in terms of whether he's going to end up being a starter or being a bulk guy. And if he is a bulk guy, that means he's a bullpen guy. You know, you don't just have to sit around and wait for him every fifth day to give you four innings or whatever. You can use him on his side day out of the pen. And you can use him in some different ways. And I think Council's psyched to have a weapon like that in the bullpen. And that is some nasty, nasty stuff. 670 The Score is what you're listening to. A couple more of your calls we'll get in the next segment. And we will also, we'll get to Joe Davis from the Dodgers broadcast crew coming up a little bit later on in the hour. You'll also hear some PBP, some of the PBP. My podcast, the episode one with Brian Anderson. I think you'll really enjoy it. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Offensively, I think double plays have just been sort of the killer of this.
Yeah, I think we've had about 10 double plays this year, something like that. You know, again, you know, we're going through a really bad stretch right now offensively, but that's not who these guys are. You know, these guys are, you know, they're proven major league hitters. That's why they're here. They have a track record. They're going to get it going. You know, it's just taking longer than what we want. You know, we had that one game against Maeda where we scored six runs. Other than that, we really haven't mustered much. So, you know, we got to just keep doing our work, and everything's going to level out. You know, these guys are major league hitters, like I said, with the track record. So everything's going to level out. We just got, there's some urgency now. You know, 1-7 starts, not good. So we got a little bit of urgency and come out, you know, tomorrow and try to win the game and take it on to Cleveland.
All right, what is Pedro Grifol talking about? These are major league hitters. They have a track record, not good ones. Andrew Vaughn doesn't have a good track record. Andrew Benintendi, in the last two years, does not have a good track record. Kevin Pillar, Paul DeJong, Dominic Fletcher, Lenin Sosa, Martin Maldonado has a track record of being a 170 hitter. He can't use the same stuff that he said when he took over for a core that he was supposed to get more out of. Remember that? He said all that stuff. These guys, you know, they'll get there, the back of the baseball card, blah, blah, blah. They'll get there. You can't say that stuff when you've got a team of never wases or cast offs or, you know, hopefuls that don't have a track record. It's when he talks like that and it's just like platitudes and like empty stuff. You're like, wait a minute. What is going on here? Where is just be real, be normal. That is not normal. Let's go to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Spieg. Listen, you just said it all right there. I would only be repeating myself after that. You're right on the money. I felt that the biggest mistake that Jerry Reinsdorf made was not sweeping Grifol out with Rick and Kenny. I still don't get that to this day.
Because they're paying him. Sadly, I think it's because they're paying him.
Well, yeah. Oh, by the way, one quick aside, Speaks. I'm with you on Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
He is my favorite player in all of baseball as well. And I have maintained steadily over the last 5-6 years when Mike Trout has been almost universally acclaimed to be the best player in baseball. that he didn't do one thing on the field that Mookie Betts couldn't do. And also the year that Ronald Acuna had last year, you know, the 40 home runs and the 70 stolen bases, Mookie Betts is the only other player currently in baseball today that's capable of doing that, you know, if he was cut loose on the bases. If there's one true 5-2 player who's also versatile, it's Mookie Betts. So you're right on the money there. Mookie is the best player of baseball in my mind.
Yeah.
But listen, back to the White Sox. Ryan McGuffey speaks. You got to have him on more often than you do. That guy tells the unvarnished truth about the White Sox. He speaks truth. And his call, his discussion with you today mirrored, you had him on late last summer, and his call stands out today because he's the only one of the Sox analysts that you have on regularly who I feel is watching the same team that I'm watching. You had guys, I don't want to mention any names. I have the receipts if I need them, but it's not important. But a lot of these Sox analysts, in going into August and September, were still maintaining and still spewing the nonsense that the White Sox were in it because they play in the American League Central. Ryan McGuffey came on and spoke truth and said the same thing that he did this morning that made me feel like he's watching the same team that I'm watching.
Thank you, Stan. Yeah, I'll pass that on to Ryan, who's awfully good at what he does. That's for sure. I'm disappointed in Pedro, who I liked at introduction. And I believed that there was more to him than there has been. I will say, I agree with Lawrence Holmes about something he was talking about during the week. And it touches on what McGuffey and I finished with. I like the way that Pedro used Michael Kopech in the one save chance, in the one win. I don't know how many times they're going to have a chance to do it. But Kopech is a guy, you got to figure out if there's any way that you can make him a viable closer. And then maybe you could flip him, or you can keep him, I suppose. But you'll probably flip him. And it didn't work as a starter. He couldn't handle the focus and the mentality needed to be incredible, like uber consistent over and over and over again. But closer is a different psychological ask, and I want him put in difficult situations whenever possible. I want him put in multiple inning stints whenever possible. Let him start the eighth, even if you're going to want him in the ninth, especially if that's where the difficult matchups are. Let him come in for a five-out save like he did the other night. Let him suffer through some challenges. Don't go yanking him if something gets tough. Now, they have to get in position to actually use him, and that might be more difficult to come by. So maybe you'll have to use him every once in a while when you're trailing or when you're tied, just to like give him some work. But, man, that guy has the stuff to close, and it's like the last chance to try and maximize the possibilities for somebody who has been extremely valuable, even though he has underperformed. It's Hit and Run here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. Cubs start at 1:20. We're on till 12:45. You'll hear from Adbert Alzolay in the noon hour. But coming up next is the broadcast voice for the Los Angeles Dodgers and for Fox TV. It's Joe Davis on Hit and Run next on The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
He hits one in the air down the line towards the right field corner that blows just inside the pole. Just barely stays fair. Shohei Ohtani has homered in back-to-back games. And the Dodgers are back in this one at 6-4.
That the voice of Joe Davis. You hear him and see him doing Dodgers games on television. That from Spectrum Sportsnet on Friday. This is a fun series, and we love our opportunity to talk to Joe in the midst of it. He joins us right now on the Circus Sports Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Joe, nice to have you on. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. You were wonderful on the podcast, the PBP, last year. I appreciate that. And episode one of season two just dropped. Brian Anderson last week, Kevin Brown this coming week. Very excited to be doing it again and diving into the job that you do.
Oh, I love it. I had so much fun doing that. Let's do it again sometime.
I'm in. So how about the energy of this matchup? Maybe you're used to it with the Dodgers. Anywhere they go, it's kind of fun. But this, I mean, that's 41,000 at Wrigley. That's the most in 5 years yesterday. A lot of factors and pretty fun. You feeling the energy there at the park?
I am. And I grew up in Michigan as a Cubs fan coming to games at Wrigley Field. So this place for me personally is extra special. You know, even when the Cubs stink and even when Ohtani's not in the building, it's a place like no place else to be in. So when you add in all the factors like you mentioned, yeah, it's been really cool these couple days.
It's 2016, 2017 NLCS, could be 2024. Why not? Cubs look like a playoff team to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The lineup, you don't have necessarily that one guy where it's like, oh my gosh, he's coming up. But it feels long because you really don't have that automatic out. I mean, I guess, you know, Yan Gomes has not hit much yet down at the nine spot, but relative to a defense first catcher, he can hit. It's just a bunch of really tough kind of nuisances to deal with when you're the opposing pitcher. I think that, you know, when you look at, granted, it's only a very small sample size, but the best strikeout rate, the best walk rate, the best on-base percentage in baseball, I don't want to deal with this lineup if I'm an opposing pitcher.
I don't think I was ever as interested to watch a manager as I was going into this season to watch Council, just because they didn't change a ton and they didn't win as many games as the underlying metrics said they should have last year. And I'm impressed so far. I got to say, like, just the way that he thinks kind of holistically from the organizational standpoint, the reputation is well earned for Craig around the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it. And you guys have seen now on an everyday basis for a couple weeks now. Look, if you're going to give a guy what they gave him, if you're going to make the move that they made, you better be sure that you're getting those things. And he's somebody who they've seen up close and personal in the division and, you know, for his entire managerial career. And Cubs fans have seen a guy who gets the most out of his rosters, right? Those Milwaukee teams are not always and rarely are the most talented team. Rarely do they, you know, put together a roster where you're like, yeah, this is going to be a division champ. This team's going to be a problem. I know the starting pitching's been really good, but like when you look at the whole roster, not that impressive in Milwaukee. He just gets the most out of what he's got.
Yeah. You know, and so Council is like kind of on an equal standing with Jed Hoyer, which has been really interesting. You know, as a former front office guy, Where's Dave Roberts these days? Are there times when Dave wants to point upstairs and say, well, that's what they think, but he won't do it on the record or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, we're so used to that kind of tussle between front office and manager. I haven't seen it yet with Craig because I think Jed will listen to him equally.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Dave, I think that's an incorrect narrative. He's in his ninth year here. I don't think you're in your ninth year having the success they've had if you don't love the people you're working with. Dave and Andrew Friedman and Brandon Gomes, I mean, these guys go to dinner together. They hang out together away from the field. Like, they could not be any more in lockstep. So, and I think that you got to have that. I mean, we've seen managerial tenures end when you don't have that. Think about it like just for in any job. It's going to be tough to go to work if you don't like the people you're going to work with. If you don't like your immediate superiors, that's going to make it tough. But it's a tired narrative that I don't know how it's become a thing with Dave Roberts and any kind of disconnect with the front office. But those guys could not have any healthier of a relationship. And I don't think you get to 9 years without that.
All right. Well, I will help retire that narrative under advisement. I'm sorry, Joe. No, really, I'll point the thumb. Hey, so watching Shohei Ohtani under some public duress has had to be interesting. Anything that you've learned about how he goes about his business that maybe you didn't realize until now you get to be this close?
It is validated for me everything that I heard and read about him sort of being a baseball robot. I mean, the guy is the same every single day. The gambling stuff breaks, And then that night, the first pitch that he sees, he hits like 150 miles an hour on a line into right field. And it's like, okay, this guy's just fine. Really has been amazing to see, you know, all this stuff, regardless of the off the field stuff that, you know, with what has popped up in the news, going to a new team, all the pressure that comes with that, the record setting contract, more eyes on him than just about any baseball player that we've seen in a long time. And he's not one bit fazed. It really has been remarkable.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of any time I've ever seen him, you know, look flustered or look overwhelmed by any situation. I don't think I've ever seen it, Joe.
No, I've not seen anything close to it. He didn't get off to a good start, and he's admitted that he was pressing and that he was up there trying to hit his first home run, and that was bleeding into his at-bat quality. So he's admitted that he's human behind that facade that we see, this stoic facade. But, boy, anything he deals with, anything he's going through, he sure hides it impressively.
I'm looking for flaws on this team as we talk to Joe Davis about the Dodgers. I'm having trouble finding them. So far, I got outfield defense. I think that's all I got. Am I missing something that I don't see?
I think infield defense for me would be the bigger concern.
Okay.
Muncy at third has had his problems. Mookie at short. That's a really tough adjustment to make. Gavin Lux at second has had throwing issues. That's why he's at second and not short. That's why Betts moved to short in the first place. Infield defense would be the biggest thing, but I think that the thought is that they're going to hit and pitch so much that they're going to overcome those problems.
Hmm. Is this the defense as aligned now that we get in playoff time? Is Mookie going to stick, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I see no reason why not. And you never know what kind of deals they're going to make. Andrew Friedman's always been, if there's a deal to be made, he'll go make it. So hard to say definitively, but I don't think there are any plans currently to change the setup with specifically to Mookie at short.
You know, he's my favorite player in the sport. And has been for a while. The spatial awareness at short, like just kind of the experiential thing of playing a million games there and knowing the timing, is that the stuff that seems to be a challenge, or what is, if it's not that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that where the challenge is, it's going to play out over a full baseball season, as so many nuances in baseball do. It's very hard. A lot of the nuances in baseball, it's very hard to see in one day, in one week, in one month. But over a full season, where the best shortstops become the best shortstops, it's not necessarily the highlight plays. It's the routine plays that they're going to make 99 times out of 100. So can he be that guy? Because if it's only 90 out of 100, you're going to cost your team a game or two. So he's going to make the highlight plays. And even if he doesn't, those account for such a small chunk of a shortstop season that whatever. Can he make the routine ones 99 times out of 100?
Joe, do you have any fun and weird trips for Fox National Baseball this year? I think they're sending Amin to England. Isn't that right? Doesn't Adam get to go?
Yes, he's going this year because we have Yankees-Dodgers that same day in New York.
Wow.
So Adam gets to go do the London thing this year. We have a week or two after that, a game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, the oldest ballpark in the country. The
awesome.
Cardinals are going to play the Giants there, so that should be really cool.
Yeah, that's at least in part inspired by the Field of Dreams experience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember I thought then that should be an annual thing, or maybe it's going to be every couple years. Baseball somewhere where baseball does not exist. I love that it's at Rickwood Field, but like, you know, why not in the Badlands, in the middle of Montana or South Dakota?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we MLB needs to hire you for their special events department.
Joe,
you know? I love this.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you. My whole Field of Dreams series, I mapped it out as an idea, and you can use your connections and get me that side hustle that we've all been looking
for.
Yeah, all right. Hey, thanks, man. Enjoy the game. Appreciate the time on a Sunday morning.
Okay, man. Anytime, bud.
All right, you got it. That's Joe Davis right there from Fox. So, right? I mean, baseball all over the country in places where it is not usually. and cannot go. And Rickwood Field is going to be awesome. That's a really, really cool event. I look forward to talking about that, baseball in Alabama, as we get closer. We have the Cubs and the Dodgers, as mentioned, coming up at 12:45. Will be pregame, and then there'll be Bulls after that. So, look, it's a doubleheader. 12:45 for Cubs, and then it's Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. You can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And the Odyssey app, by the way, is a simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Burnsy and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer. The free Odyssey app. Download it today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Cubs. You'll hear from him as we head up towards first pitch and pregame before that on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.